You're listening to Song Exploder, where musicians take apart their songs and piece by piece tell the story of how they were made. I'm Hrishikesh Hirway. Song Exploder is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Shania Twain is a singer and songwriter from Ontario, Canada. She's the only female artist to have had three consecutive diamond albums, albums that have sold over 10 million copies. Actually, her 1997 album, Come On Over, is the best-selling album by a female solo artist of all time. One of the most iconic songs from that iconic album is You're Still the One. It was co-written and produced by Mutt Lange, who had previously produced some other classic albums, like Back in Black by AC/DC and Pyromania by Def Leppard. He'd also produced Shania Twain's previous album, The Woman in Me, from 1995. For this episode, Shania told me the story of writing You're Still the One. She told me what the song meant to her when she was making it over 25 years ago, and what it means to her now.
My name is Shania Twain. You're Still the One was written when I was married to Mutt Lange. We had met and married within 6 months. He was quite a few years older than me, and we were from very, very different worlds. Mutt had a very British and South African accent, which was quite strong. I was born in Ontario, Canada. So the combination of us was a real contrast. But musically, we were not from such different worlds. Mutt being a very, very big country music fan. And rock was a staple in all of my upbringing in Canada. Much of it being what Mutt had written and produced. I knew the Def Leppard albums, the Foreigner albums, the Cars albums, and of course, AC/DC. So I felt like I had already known him for so long, inside out, because Mutt Lange was those records on many levels. It was just so obvious that we needed to be together, which was difficult for other people to believe on the outside. There was a lot of skepticism about whether our relationship would last. In interviews, I would be asked questions like, what is your role in this music relationship? Questions that insinuated that I was a product being shaped and formed and developed. Questioning my ability because I was the newbie and Mutt was already so accomplished. So You're Still the One was definitely written with me feeling like I needed to say, we're going to make it. We're going to get through all the skepticism. In years from now, everybody will see that you're still going to be the one for me. The day of writing You're Still the One is so clear in my head. I start humming a melody around in the kitchen, which is very common for me. The lyric, Looks Like We Made It, comes out.
Looks like we made it.
I thought, I'm onto something here, but we're not that far into our marriage. I could be getting ahead of myself. I know we still have a long way to go together. So I'm just going to put it out there and I'm going to say it in this song. I picked up my guitar and the melody came really fast.
Looks like we made it. Look how far we've come, my baby. We might have took the long way. We knew we'd get there someday.
And then the chorus lyrics came together. That was the next thing I did.
you're still the one I run to, the one that I belong to. You're still the one I want for life.
And Mutt came in. He just sat across from me. I played him what I was doing. And he said, okay, well, let's just roll the course over a few times. So I played and sang and played and sang. And, you know, he would just say, do it again and do it again and do it again. And I could see his mind coming up with something. And then he just started singing.
You're still the one.
And that was the hook to me. I'm just like, that's the hook. That is the hook.
You're still the one.
You're still the one that I love. The only one I dream of. You're still the one I kiss good night.
The way Mutt and I heard the music together, it wasn't going to sound like any other country record on purpose. Our first album together, The Woman and Me, just rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. I got a lot of criticism, questioning my authenticity as a country artist. And I was foreign. I wasn't even American. Never mind, I wasn't Southern. So I was offensive to some of them, and they made it pretty clear. But I knew I belonged there because those were my roots. I mean, I'd been singing in bars from the age of 8 years old, writing my own music from the age of 10. And my repertoire as a little girl was Dolly Parton, Tammy Wynette, it was George Jones, and that is in me. But I wanted to be my own artist. And the music was going to be a hybrid of all of my various influences stylistically, R&B, rock, folk, and of course, country. And so the song was recorded in Nashville. Because there's a different feel to the country music player. So, for example, it affects the groove entirely. If you bring a country drummer into a session, he's going to give a song a very different feel than if you bring in a rock drummer or if you bring in an R&B drummer. And the session for You're Still the One was particularly for me about the drums. So see that patter? It's brushes on the snare. It's like you exhale and you're in a slow dance. It's a sway. It's a very romantic, soulful groove. We needed to get the tempo right. So I remember working a long time on that. I was there singing along so we could set that tempo for the drummer, Paul Lyne.
They said, they'll never make it, but just look at us holding on. We're still together, still going strong.
It wasn't a challenge for me vocally. It was very, very natural. I tend to sing lazy that way. And so the delivery of the song stayed very true and pure to the way I wrote it. Right down to the backing vocals.
You're still the one I run to, the one that I belong to. You're still the one I want for life.
Mutt did backing vocals, and he gives a style to things. That's like a signature sound to his vocals, for sure. You know that's Mutt Lang backing vocals.
The one I want.
And it was a great contrast to my very solitary storytelling.
You're still the one.
You're still the one that I love. The only one I dream of. You're still the one I kiss goodnight.
Mutt wanted to add the sensuality to the intro of the song. You know, he wanted to milk the romance. And I never enjoyed that part. I'm like, oh, this is so corny.
Do you mind if we listen to it?
See, it makes me laugh even thinking about listening to it.
When I first saw you, I saw love.
I'm in there and I'm just giving them a bunch of like different takes.
And the first time you touched me.
I would have liked to listen to the outtakes because I'm sure I was laughing between some of them thinking, oh my God, I'm really, you know, pouring it on here.
And after all this time, you're still the one I love.
John Hobbs is on the organ. The steel guitar, I would say, most particularly, was in the control room a very wow moment. It was a very, oh, that's magic. Bruce Boughton was the steel guitar player on You're Still the One, and he was just the perfect stylist on that instrument for this song. This is an instrument that works in waves. It's waves and attack. Waves and attack. Mutt is also riding that performance in the mix to exaggerate the swells because he wants the instrument to disappear and then come back and then disappear and come back. It's a haunting instrument. It makes you reflect from a distance.
You're still the one I run to, the one that I belong to. You're still the one I want for life.
It ends very alone. It's just my voice. So there's no more beat at that point, which I think is very appropriate. It's just the way I sing it.
I'm so glad we made it. Look how far we've come, my baby.
You're Still the One has gone through its own evolution and meaning and purpose. When I wrote the song, I wrote it from my perspective about my relationship and about feeling so good and satisfied that we made it. When we got divorced, I knew I couldn't go on stage without doing this song because it had become one of my biggest songs. And it was very hard. And I was choking down the tears. It made me very sad to sing it. But forcing myself through that wall, through that, oh, I can't believe I have to sing this song again because it's not true anymore. And, you know, I was kind of in this emotional space with it. Because I'm looking at the people and they're going, well, she's singing about something that's no longer true. I didn't know if that would make everybody sad, how they'd feel about that. But I soon realized that it wasn't about me. People had adopted the song as their song. They weren't thinking Shania doesn't mean the song anymore. They were thinking, this is my song. This is our song. This is my wedding song. This is our anniversary song. And then I started celebrating that myself. I'm like, wow, this song has way surpassed why I wrote it. It's so much more than that. It's not about me. And I let go of that. I let go of my own attachment to the reason I wrote it. And of course, in all the years that we were together, I meant it. I was singing it for myself more than anything. And then all of a sudden, I was singing it for everybody else.
Coming up, you'll hear how all these ideas and elements came together in the final song. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Lovingly dubbed The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters would spur each other on to tap into something bigger, realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the birth of outlaw country music. Listen now at audible.com/theboar'snest. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Lovingly dubbed The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters would spur each other on to tap into something bigger, realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the birth of outlaw country music. Listen now at audible.com/theboar'snest. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Lovingly dubbed The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters would spur each other on to tap into something bigger, realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter The Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the birth of outlaw country music. Listen now at audible.com/theboar'snest. And now, here's You're Still the One by Shania Twain in its entirety.
When I first saw you, I saw love. And the first time you touched me, this time, you're still the one I love. Looks like we made it. Look how far we've come, my baby. We might have took the long way. We knew we'd get there someday. They said, I bet they'll never make. But just look at us holding on. We're still together, still going strong. Still, you're still the one I run to, the one that I belong to. You're still the one I want for life. Still, you're still the one that I love, the only one I dream of. You're still the one I kiss goodnight. Ain't nothing better. We beat the odds together. I'm glad we didn't listen. Look at what we would be missing. They said, they'll never make it, but just look at us holding on. We're still together, still going strong. You're still the one that I Look how far we've come, my baby.
To learn more, visit songexploder.net. You can find links to buy or stream You're Still the One, and you can watch the music video. Shania Twain will be in residency in Las Vegas starting in May 2024, and you can get tickets for that on our website, shaniatwain.com. This episode was produced by Craig Ely, Theo Balcom, Kathleen Smith, Mary Dolan, and myself. The episode artwork is by Carlos Lerma, and I made the show's theme music and logo. Song Exploder is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, a network of independent, listener-supported, artist-owned podcasts. You can learn more about all our shows at radiotopia.fm. You can follow me on social media at Rishi Hirway, and you can follow the show at Song Exploder. You can also get a Song Exploder t-shirt at songexploder.net/shirt. I'm Hrishikesh Hirway. Thanks for listening.
Radiotopia.
If you're looking for another podcast to listen to, check out Normal Gossip from Radiotopia. They're coming back for their sixth season. If you don't already know the show, they were named one of the best podcasts of the year by Time Magazine and Vulture, and their new season starts April 17th. Normal Gossip is really fun. It's a show about petty and ridiculous and strange stories and the way that we share those stories. The stories that they tell in the podcast are sent in by listeners, and then they're anonymized and then retold to a guest. And then they have to weigh in on the decisions that the people in the story are making. It's very funny and very beloved. So if you aren't already listening, check out the new season, which starts April 17th. You can listen to Normal Gossip wherever you get your podcasts.